am currently joined by, please help me, Jody Jerelnik?
No, Guralnik.
Guralnik. I am terrible with names if I don't get a phonetic breakdown.
No one pronounces that name.
Perfect. Well, thank you so, so much for joining me.
It's great to be here.
I appreciate it. And you have been a longtime Roaring Fork Valley resident and artist.
Yes. Yeah.
So can you talk to me a little bit specifically right now, your most recent show and why we have you in the studio today?
Okay. I have a show currently at Sky Gallery, which is a new gallery in Aspen. Fabulous, really fabulous gallery. The show is called The Fifth Kingdom. And in taxonomy, the fifth kingdom is the kingdom of fungi and slime molds and lichens and yeast and what I think of as sort of the invisible connectors of the universe. I mean, they're the connectors and the decomposers and an incredibly important part of our world that I don't think gets that much attention. And at any rate, I'm very attracted to it.
I love that. What kind of prompted you to recognize it? I mean, as you rightfully pointed out, they're sort of the invisible connectors. So what made you see them?
Well, let's see, a couple things. I mean, I volunteer for the Forest Conservancy, and through that, I've been taking botany classes for the last few years, and, you know, I find myself sitting in bed at night reading botany books and trying to memorize Latin names and because I want to communicate with other botanists, because it's such a fascinating world. And it sort of led me to do a lot more reading about taxonomy, which is an incredibly interesting system that I find a little bit like this fantastic human endeavor. It's a little like spitting in the wind, right? Because the world is so full and so complex, and yet we've put this structure over everything. So basically, so we can talk to each other about what's in the world. So I'm attracted to taxonomy, and when I read about the Fifth Kingdom, that just sort of grabbed me, and I like the name.
Yeah.
But I also am a mushroomer. I mean, I love to gather mushrooms, and I love to go out hunting and looking for things like mushrooms in the woods. But also, you and I touched on off air a podcast we both heard from Radiolab, which refers to the mycelial network as the wood wide web. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly interesting, and I've also heard mycelium referred to as the internet of the forest. And I think so. I'll go back a little. I worked a couple years ago for a summer in a biology lab set up for artists in New York.
And
so artists were invited to come in, and it was the whole white coats and everything sterile. And my project while I was there is I grew a human vascular system out of slime mold.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's a yellow slime mold called Physarum polycephalum. And it's quite startling because if you give it what it wants, which is a moist, dark environment and a few grains of oats, it starts growing. And under a microscope, you can see it growing and pulsing and finding direction. But I had noticed that it grew in the same kind of branching pattern that mycelium grows in, and therefore lichen, because lichen is a form of fungi. Rivers, when you look down from an airplane and you see, especially in our mountains, you see the water delivery system that is our mountains, all those branching patterns that I think, for me anyway, I'm so attracted to them because they're part of us. You know, I think it's such an interesting experience to realize you're being reproduced at every scale over and over, whether you look macro or micro. So that sort of drawn me to a study of systems and networks and how everything is gathered and communicating with each other.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I know that podcast blew me away because you walk through the forest and you feel that kind of connectivity. It's almost a sacred feeling and you don't know why you feel it. And then you recognize that's because everything around you is communicating.
Totally. I mean, I read a description from a mycologist named Paul Stamets, and he said, imagine you're walking through a forest and a twig snaps under your foot. And as that snaps under your foot, mycelium is microscopically surging up to grab the nutrients you just released under your foot. I mean, that was enough to set me on years of study.
Oh, yeah. I just got chills.
It's just so fantastic. And so when I made these paintings that are very abstractly and loosely based on mycelial networks or lichen networks, but I had the interesting experience of I've looked at rocks now a lot with lichen on them. Mm-hmm. And so the work kind of made itself in the sense that I didn't draw out anything beforehand. I didn't plan where I was going with each piece. But I let my brain wander to things I've observed. And I thought of how there will be tight little dense clumps of lichen and then five different kinds that grow together, overlapping and weaving in and out from each other. So it was sort of very easy to know what I wanted to do because I didn't have to think. I just had to think right. into my brain
yeah,
you know, and what I looked at.
Almost meditative. I love the way you phrased it. I think it was on your website or an artist statement I read somewhere, but you said that you felt your work was a collaboration with the world.
Well, you know, and some of that came out of working in the biology lab that I was so happy not just opening a tube of paint, but feeling that I was asking something of the world. It's sort of a call and response. For an artist, that's it's a wonderful thing to not be out there alone, just creating things out of a vacuum. And I have some pieces in the show that I made with actual mushrooms.
Oh, wow.
They're made with inky cap mushrooms, which are a mushroom that grows here, very common mushroom. Do you know what it is?
I don't. I'm needing to learn more about mushrooms. It's when you mentioned that you're a shroomer, you hunt. That's something I had never heard of until living here in this valley. And it's amazing. I have friends that make like a lot of money. They're very covetous of their secret spots. They find these really valuable mushrooms.
I would not reveal where I go. But so I picked inky cat mushrooms and they have this wonderful ability to consume themselves in a black ink. And that's where their spores are contained within the ink. So it's called deliquescing. So basically I picked inky cat mushrooms and I put them on beautiful white sheets of paper and I said to them, make self-portraits. Let me see what you can do. And what's interesting is the way the ink flowed out, their fractals, their common patterns, you know. And then I was lucky enough to be in an anatomy lab this year and I got to see bodies in various states, and among those things I got to see slices of a brain. So I got to study a cerebellum, and one of the inky caps made this form that could be a drawing I'd done of the cerebellum. It just looked exactly the same kind of fluted pattern on the edges.
That's
which is again the same pattern you see in mycelium or lichen. So I think that sense of connection and partnership over and over made me want to say something about it. And also, you know, these are very tiny marks that add up. It's an accretion of marks, kind of the way lichen grows or moss grows or one of those things that add up to creating a big picture, which I'm really interested in, the small mark adding up.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fantastic. Off air, we were talking and I thought was really probably a very interesting experience for you as an artist. Sadly, your former dealer and good friend is losing his eyesight, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking him through your show up at the Sky Gallery in Aspen.
Yeah.
What was that like to realize?
Well, I was just taking him through the museum to see the show there.
Sure.
But, you know, I have described work, and I think it's a really good exercise for anyone to describe what they've done in another medium, I guess, and to have to find words to describe the kind of images you're using.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting.
I love that. So for listeners who are trying to visualize your work right now, if they may or may not be able to get up to Aspen before your show closes, how would you describe? Think of one.
Wow.
Just pick one.
Well, I've done some underpainting with little bits of paintings of lichen. There's a lichen called Cladonia, which is really common. You've all seen, which is like looks like little cups, sometimes called a pixie cup lichen, I think. So I did a little painting of that on one, and some close up of microscopic images of pollen, which looks sort of like a big ball full of balls. And you think about why pollen irritates your nose and eyes, you understand when you see it microscopically. So I have a few little areas painted like that. And then over everything, I've done these reaching and arching and grabbing and patterns that sort of cross over. You know, the reason that mycelium is called the internet of the forest is because it's that kind of structure that if it breaks in one place, there's 20 other places where it's hooked together. So I try to let myself just sort of flow into creating that kind of pattern where it's connected in so many different ways that you don't worry about a connection breaking. So it's a kind of fluid floating pattern that I just I don't know. I tried to draw it so it went between images that I'd painted. So you'd get the idea of things gathering together.
Sure. Which kind of brings me to my next thought. I'm wondering, what are your hopes You know, some artists are so funny. They have a very specific, intentional reaction they're hoping to elicit from a viewer. And other artists I've spoken to have said, you know, no, I'm just putting it out there. I don't really, what they do with that information is their analysis, their interpretation. Mm-hmm. I'm just presenting something. Do you have hopes for what people can walk away from?
Well, that's an interesting question because I actually don't really think in those terms usually. But that said, I think, you know, for me, the issues of climate change right now are the issues, you know, and I think the price tag of this administration, I don't think we've begun to feel it because of climate change policy that could be rolled back. I don't know if it is actually being rolled back, but it's proposed to be rolled back. Mm-hmm. And I think to understand that everything in the universe really matters. If we lose bees, we've lost huge, profound parts of our world. If we lose this network of systems that gathers us together, we've lost so much. So I think I like to think of, again, like sort of the big picture, but made up of small marks. And I said this the other night in a talk at the gallery, a quote from Rachel Carson. She said, the more closely we can look at something, the less taste we'll have for destruction. And I think that's kind of the message behind my show, to say, open your eyes, look at what's around you, look at what's in jeopardy, look at this time we live in of species extinction. And, you know, so I just want people to observe. I think observation is incredibly important.
No, I think that's very powerful. And kind of what you've spoken about, how you like your work to have substance and history and a story behind it, but also the future. Mm-hmm. And you reminded me when you brought up climate change, Gavin did an interview with an Irish artist whose work centers on water. Mm-hmm. And she just did a show, I want to say it was in Palisade. And so he was able to interview her. And when she visited, her response as an outsider, everyone kept talking to her like, oh, I'm so sorry you're here in the middle of a drought. Yeah. To which she said, you know, that's just so reflective of American optimism. You use the drought word as if it's an exception and not the new normal.
Right. Well, that's the question. I mean, is this the new normal? Is this an aberration this year? I don't know, right. But I'm leading a naturalist walk tomorrow from the gallery, and I've been really brooding about what's out there because there's a lot less out there than usual. And you're right, I don't know whether I'm being optimistic to just think, well, it'll snow a lot and then the rivers will fill up.
Right.
And this is just a blaring warning sign for all of us.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I don't want to be all doom and gloom about the message from my show either, but I just think we humans have to pay attention. So that's kind of the message, is
certainly
pay attention.
Well, and I don't think it's necessarily all doom and gloom. I mean, I think about the beauty of this idea of fully being present, that mm-hmm. twig snapping under your foot, and
yeah.
how that just ignites a whole other line of action right. from things that we can't see. I think that's beautiful,
yeah.
personally.
And, you know, there's a new tree of life. I don't know if anyone listening is familiar with Darwin's tree of life, but the redrawn tree of life is amazing looking because it's this kind of almost like a ball with things coming out of it. It's very unlike a tree. And we are a little tiny, what would be a root down towards the bottom. And in the entire, what would be the foliage is bacteria. I mean, these are things we're just learning. And even, you know, I think we've had such a negative point of view about bacteria, but bacteria are us. You know, we are, I mean, what people say is 20% human, right? And
right.
this is our bacterial load.
Right.
So I'm so attracted and interested in all the invisible ties that bind. And
yeah.
So.
No, I think that's great. Just wrapping up here in a couple of minutes, let's give shout outs to the logistics. Okay. For how long, how much longer
so the
is
the show? Is up, I think, till the 26th of September.
Okay.
So it's up for a bit. They have long hours into the evening for people walking around Aspen at night. And as I said, it's just a fabulous space. And we have a couple of different events tomorrow. I have some master naturalists coming to speak with me in the gallery, and then we'll take a walk together. And
what time is that?
That is from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Mimosas. Mimosas in nature.
It's usually all you have to say to get me somewhere.
We are talking about doing a Get Out the Vote event at the gallery as well.
And details on that are still pending.
Yes, they're pending. So that's all I'll say about that one. But please come by the gallery. And as I said, it's open long hours. And I'm always happy to meet anyone in the gallery and sort of talk to them about the show, too.
Absolutely. And this is kind of a special showing for you as well because of the host, right? Didn't you tell me you've known Skye since she was in kindergarten?
Yes, that's that's true. And Skye's doing an amazing job. And, you know, she's had pop-ups around town. She was in the old Boogies building, and then she had another space. And right now, I don't think she has this space long-term, but she'll see what she does, and she's really done a fabulous job there.
That's super exciting. Well, Jody Gerlachnik?
Gerlachnik. It's okay. You got the Jody part right.
Right. Thank you so... I cannot thank you enough for this conversation.
Thanks,
and coming
Megan.
Into the studio and spending some time with us. So thank you very much for our listeners. Head up Valley. There's a good reason to check out some art if you have some time tomorrow morning and want to hear a fascinating talk and go on a nature walk with some mimosas. You can do that tomorrow as well and meet Jody in person. So, Jody, thank you.
Thanks, Megan. It's fun.
Great.